to the Dance School Startup Mini Podcast, bringing you bite-sized advice each week to help you at the start of your dance school's journey. My name's Laura Gillam, and I've been a dance teacher for over 20 years and a school owner for over 14 years. I'm so excited to support you on your journey, and I look forward to getting to know you more in the Dance School Startup Facebook group. Hello everybody, how are you? I hope everyone's okay. I'm sorry if I sound a little bit, bunged up today. I've just kind of got over COVID. It finally hit me. I can't believe I did 2 years without getting it. And then suddenly it just hit me. It hit all my staff. I had to close the dance school. I had to put it onto Zoom again for a week just while everybody recovered. It was just not ideal, as I'm sure you can all imagine, but you know what? New me does not fret about these things, guys. I just casually whacked it onto Zoom, told everybody, everyone was super supportive, and it worked out fine in the end. So I've definitely come a long way over these last 15 years. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm saying that. This year is our 15 year anniversary, and it's been a bit of a month to just kind of think back and just kind of reminisce. I think me and my staff have spent pretty much the entire 15 years together, and it's been nice just to think back over the years and just laugh about all the memories and the things that we've done, and you know, moments of joy and moments of tears. But it's been really, really nice, and I just can't believe it. 15 years is just, it's been slow and fast at the same time. I know you'll appreciate what that means. When you're in the moment, everything is just, you know, plodding along. But when you look back, it's just happened so fast and everything's just grown so quickly. So, yeah, definitely feeling proud this month and reflecting. So one day this will be you, and I know that you will get there and you'll enjoy it too. But while you're waiting, while you're on your way, you need to obviously enjoy your journeys, guys, every step of the way, the ups and the downs. And that's kind of what inspired today's podcast, which is 5 things I wish I could go back and tell myself. And I guess theoretically, going back and telling myself these things now is useful for you, because you are at the beginning of your journey or early in your story. And it's sometimes nice to just hear somebody else's perspective. So today I am going to do 5 things that I honestly wish I could go back and tell myself. So let's get going with 1, which is, you don't need anyone's approval or reassurance when making decisions. I'm going to say that again. You don't need anyone's approval or reassurance when making decisions. And it might be quite nice to have it, but you don't need it. And this is something I really had to work on, because I'm naturally an anxious person and I'm naturally someone who will seek reassurance a lot. And I spent years just constantly asking other people's opinions, and too many opinions, because not only does it confuse me, but it also shares way too much information on what I'm considering, you know, on doing within my school or in life in general. And by having so many people involved, it actually starts to distort what it is that you're actually seeking to do. You've got too many people chipping in and thinking about what's right for them rather than what's right for you. And this took a long time for me to build my confidence to just not have to ask everybody every single time I was making a decision. And I'm talking about not just massive decisions within my business, but I'm talking about just small everyday decisions. It's almost like I would be testing the water to see what other people thought before I did something. So for example, if I was going to put my fees up, if I've got 1 or 2 parents that are also friends, because I do teach a lot of my friends' children, and I just test the water and I just say, oh, you know, things are really going up financially, I think I'm going to have to put the fees up, and then just wait for their reaction. And then I'd be like, oh, you know, I was thinking about doing this, what do you think? And, you know, ultimately the situation is that people are going to think for themselves. They're not going to think what's best for you. They're going to think what's best for them. Now, obviously in that situation specifically, then no one wants the fees to go up. So it's never going to be the response that you want it to be. And I think that is the bottom line of it. You're seeking that approval and reassurance, but you also need to understand that 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be the answer you want to hear. And I think when I realized that, that's when I just started listening to myself, deciding actually what I wanted to do, and then just going for it without asking other people's opinions. Because ultimately, you're never going to please everybody, and you know that. Decisions on your school need to come from your heart and your head and your vision. So if you are seeking someone who is completely external to that, even as a client or a parent of your school, you know, they're invested in your school, but they've still got a completely different vision to what you have. So if you can find the confidence to stop asking other people if you relate to what I'm saying here and you're thinking, God, that's me. If you can find that strength and that confidence to actually just bite the bullet and make a decision without somebody telling you that your decision is correct or okay, you will feel so free, and it will just build you. It will build you in a way that you didn't realize was possible. So if this is you and you're listening to this thinking, absolutely, this is me, then perhaps make your next goal that the next big decision that you've got to make, you're just going to get on with it, and you're not going to ask someone else if it's okay. You're just going to do what you think is best. Right, number two is, I wish I could tell myself that if one person emails thank you or well done or congratulations or I really enjoyed that out of 200 people, that is a win. Now, this might seem a little bit of a crazy thing, but trust me, the amount of events that I have run over the years and the amount of shows that I've put on over the years, in the early days, I used to get so gutted when the emails went dry the next day. I was so desperate for people to tell me that they'd enjoyed the event or tell me that their child had had a lovely day or just any feedback at all. I was just desperate to receive it. But also, I've come to realise that no news is good news, because parents and clients are very quick to tell you when things are bad. But it takes a lot of effort for someone to write an email to you to tell you how well you've done. So if you do receive one, treasure it and save it, because it's rare, and it's not really rare to the point where it never happens, because after shows, I get some lovely support, but you're not going to get hundreds of emails of people telling you how good it was. 9 times out of 10, you just see a parent next time and they'll say, oh, I really enjoyed it at the weekend. But what I will say is, anything that you get that is positive feedback, save it in a file, save it in a separate file so that you can actually go back in years to come and read them all, because they don't come very often. And actually, if you collect them when you're having a bad day, you can read back and realize just how well you are doing. Because as I say, it is much more likely for someone to make a complaint than to congratulate you. Now, on the flip side of this, I would also like to tell myself that if you do get an email of complaint, it's okay. Now, I know a couple of you are probably laughing at this, but when you get an email that's bad, you will literally stew on it. Don't tell me you don't. I mean, some of you I know will stew on it for days. Some of you I know will stew on it for weeks. I've been there, and I will say it's not gone, but I've definitely got better at letting things go. I kind of just give myself a time limit now. I'm said, all right, you can feel bad about this today, but tomorrow's a new day and then we're done. Because you can't carry this stuff with you for days and days on end. It's not good for your mental health, and it's just not good for business, because it's one person's opinion. And, you know, if something big has happened and gone wrong, you'll rectify it. And if it's something small, you can look at it objectively and decide whether you feel something needs to be done about it, or whether it's just one person being over picky, or, you know, it's just relates to them personally and not everybody within your school. But what I will say to you and past me is, please don't hold on to it. Don't take it with you day after day. Let it go. Let that thing go. I just cannot. I don't know if I'm saying this more for you or for myself, but I cannot stress it enough. There is no point losing sleep over these things, guys. There will be always other people that you can teach. What is the worst case scenario here? They leave. Okay. Okay, it's okay. So just in case you need to hear this or anyone needs to hear this today, if you get a bad email, let that stuff go. Okay, on to number three. Don't share your life story or moan to your clients because it's really not good customer service. Now, this might not relate to some people, but I'm just being honest with you. I am being absolutely upfront with you. I know that back in the day, I would tell everyone everything. I've always been a girl that wears a heart on her sleeve. When I opened my school, I was quite young and I just, you know, chatted friendly chat with the parents in the waiting room. But quite quickly over the years, I realised I was an oversharer. You know, people knew too much about what was going on and there just needs to be this air of mystery with you as a principal. You know, I'm not into that old school vibe where the principal just doesn't talk to anybody and is, you know, this big figure on a pedestal that is very separate because back in the day, I went to schools that were like that. That's not for me. I'm very much in with the parents, chatting to them, saying hello and, you know, welcome them and being the face of my brand. That's really, really important to me. But also, I was an oversharer, big time. I'd tell them everything, you know, and if something bad was going on, I'd moan about it and blah, blah, blah. But we're not friends. We're not friends past me. So don't tell them everything because the problem is it's ammunition, you know. If you tell them things about your life and then something goes wrong, they could potentially share things and things get distorted around the school and you just don't need that in your life. So if you are an oversharer, just take a moment to think, does this person really need to hear this story or shall I just keep this to myself? Okay, into number four. Parents will never get better at reading their emails. You just need to get better at communicating. And you need to get some patience. So, again, this is definitely something I know we will all relate to. You could write 700 emails. You could put it on a notice board. You can put it in the Facebook group. You can share it on WhatsApp. Damn, you can get a bus with it written, pulled up outside your studio. And parents will still say they didn't know about it. And guys, 15 years in, I don't know what else I can do. But this week, 2 weeks before exams, a parent has legitimately told me they knew nothing about the exams. Oh, guys, it's painful. You know, I what do they want from me? I can't knock on everybody's door and tell them individually how much their exam costs, what time they are, what time they need to be there, and what they need to wear. But it's getting to the point where I feel like maybe that is what I'm going to have to do. Anyway, regardless... Past me, listen up, and you listen up too. They're never going to get better. You just need to get better at communicating. So if you're somebody who feels like you leave things to the last minute, stop it. Give them a lot more notice. If you're somebody who just sends one or two emails, send three or four. If you've got a notice board, please make use of it. Start a WhatsApp group if you want to. Have a Facebook group. Get yourself an app for the school. Anything, but just make sure that you are using all channels because there is always going to be someone that didn't know about it. I'm obviously very passionate about number four. Number five, final one is, and this is a big one, guys, the world of your school is not going to end without you. Now, I've learned this over the last couple of weeks when I got COVID. I learned it when I had my son. I learned it when I was poorly a few years ago. You know, the fear that you've got to be there all the time and you've got to do everything all the time because if you're not there, something terrible is going to happen and it's all going to go wrong and then you're going to go into work the next day and there's going to be no students left. You know what, guys? It can keep going without you. If you're ill and you cannot work, don't burn yourself out. Get yourself a cover teacher. Allow yourself that. I think as an industry, we have a mindset of the show must go on. And I actually think that that is one of our strengths. But also, it's one of our weaknesses because we push ourselves too far sometimes. And we make situations worse than they should be. You know, if you're really poorly and you can't work, then, you know the difference between having a bit of a cold and feeling a bit crap and then going into work on it versus you're actually really ill and you need some time out. Get yourself a cover teacher. Get yourself a bank of cover teachers that you can call on so that, you know, I've got I think it's something like 15 cover teachers on a spreadsheet, so that if anything goes wrong, I can put out a call and someone will come back to me and be able to help me out. But one day is not going to be the end of the world for your dance school. And 1 week, 1 month isn't. You know, when I had my son, I took my maternity cover. I only actually ended up doing something like 9 weeks, I think it was. I was meant to do 7, but I was really poorly afterwards. Now, that's nothing in comparison to normal 9 to 5. God, I mean, people take a year off of work. So for me to just have minimum weeks is crazy, really, looking back. But I guess that's what you do when you're a business owner. I was terrified. I was terrified that I wasn't going to have a school to come back to. But guys, what you're building day in, day out, you don't realise how the efforts that you're putting in now really, really will come into play when you need them, when you're not there. People will be able to keep your school running. And this is why you need systems as well, guys, because you need to have systems in place where that it can run itself, so that if something does happen and you are poorly or you need to go away or something, you know, is stopping you from working for, you know, a couple of days, somebody can pick up and take it over for you. So, but as long as you've got those systems in place and you're working hard to really build that, it won't end without you. Listen to your body. If you need to take a day off because you're not well, take a day off. If you've got to go away for a couple of days and see somebody, or you've got, you know, something planned that you need to do, do it. As business owners, we are literally head down 365 days a year, it feels like. And work-life balance is so, so important. And, you know, that's a whole different topic. But I'm talking specifically about, you know, if you're not well or you need to take some time out for any specific reason, like, or you're going away, or even you want to take a holiday in, you know, in term time, then you can plan that in. I promise your school can cope without you. And it doesn't matter how young your school is or how old it is. As long as every day you are working to improve the way that you run the business, to improve the systems, to make sure that you have things in place so that if you're not there, someone can quite easily pick it up, then you've got no reason to feel guilt or to feel like you cannot step away from your business at any time. I promise you, it will still be there when you come back. Nowadays, I feel a lot less guilty about taking a day off if I need it. And I feel a lot better for it as well. But I remember back in the day when I first started, I would force myself, no matter what, into work all the time. And there were times when I put my work before my family or before something really, really important. And I know for a fact that if I was working a different type of job, like perhaps in an office or, you know, a more what I would call traditional job, I wouldn't think twice about taking the day off if I was feeling poorly or, you know, if I needed to go somewhere or something had happened. But for some reason, when you're, you know, not just in our business, but all business owners, the guilt that they feel if they have to, you know, for any reason step away. That's why I wish I could go back and tell myself that, so that I'd made some better decisions and also just stop myself from burning out sometimes. And so I want to give that little piece of advice as the last one that I wish I could tell myself today, because someone might need to hear that. And if that's you, I really, really do hope that you take note. Everything's going to be okay. So that's my top 5 things I wish I could go back and tell myself. I do hope that that was useful for some of you today listening. Thank you so much once again for joining me. Those of you who are new listeners, welcome. I do hope that you have enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to go back and listen to the others. I'm sure there'll be something in there that will help you. And of course, please do make sure that you're active in the group. We're all there for each other. And I drop in so regularly now, just to make sure that everybody's okay and I answer as many questions as I can. And if anybody does need any one-to-one support, then of course you can always reach out to me via DM or via the website www.danceschoolstartup.com. I've got some spaces for one-to-one on Zoom, and I do have some spaces in the new instant mentoring program, which is such a lovely way for me to mentor people, guys. I've really, really enjoyed doing that. And just to explain what that is, it's a monthly subscription. There is no minimum time. You can do 1 month, you can do 5 months. It's up to you what you want to do. It's just rolling over every month. It's £40 a month. And I am basically your mentor in your pocket. Instant mentoring is using an app very similar to WhatsApp. You have access to message me or voice note me every single day, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. Any problems that you have, any questions that you have, if you're in a situation and you need help or support, I am on hand to help you. So if you think that that might be something that you'd love to have for just £40 a month, and I know, guys, that that is very competitive, then do reach out to me. Either DM me at Laura Gillam, or you can, of course, www.dartschoolstartup.com. Send me an email through there. Okay, guys, well, look, have a wonderful weekend. I look forward to seeing you all in the group, and I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. Take care. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I hope you found that useful and took away some valuable information. If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you could like and subscribe. And if you're listening on iTunes, perhaps even leave me a little review or share it with someone else who you think it may benefit. If you're just starting out or in the first 2 years of your dance school business, follow the link in the show notes to join us at the Facebook group.